This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here, we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I'm really excited to be here today with my friend, Whitney Howell. Whitney was a ministry partner with me when we did an in-person Faith Conversations event. And I am telling you, she and I are completely opposite in like the most perfect way. All of her skills are the opposite of my skills. And I could not have done that in-person ministry without her. She was the perfect ministry partner. She brought all the things to the table that I do not do well. And actually, I was just telling her that I now aspire to build ministry teams that are like the one that she and I had working together. So just excited to be here with Whitney today and for you guys to have an opportunity to hear about what God has done in her life, how he has shown us more of himself through the story that he's writing in her life. So Whitney, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thanks, Jessica, for inviting me. It's an honor to be here and a blessing to have a testimony to share.
It is a blessing to have a testimony. I know without what he's done, we wouldn't have anything to talk about.
It's true.
I know. Okay. Well, then let's talk about it. I want to hear, let's start painting kind of the background story, right? I'd like to hear about your personal background and then the background of your faith. Can you get us started with that?
Sure. So I have a pretty simple background, I guess. Mm-hmm. I was blessed to have a mother and dad who loved me, and two brothers that we mostly got along. They're great and love them so much. My dad was a soldier, so my brothers and I grew up as Army brats. We traveled around the country. I really enjoyed that lifestyle. I enjoyed living in different regions of the United States mostly, and just getting to know people there, different lifestyles. It was a great way of growing up. And as it turned out, I ended up marrying a soldier.
Yeah.
Didn't plan it, but right. That was God's plan for me. And so we've raised a couple of Army brats of our own, and they're pretty incredible human beings. We're very proud of them and thankful for them.
Aw, I love that. Well, you know, it's funny. You're growing up as an Army brat and you don't even realize that God's cultivating the ability within you to live that lifestyle for your own future.
Yeah. I told my husband he married somebody who didn't know any better.
That's right. So where are you originally from? I know when you're an Army brat, you kind of hop around. But do you have a certain place that you would call your home?
My extended family lives in Southern Alabama.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So both sides, my mom and dad's.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's great. So now tell me, how did a relationship with Jesus come into the picture for you?
So I was raised basically in a Christian home.
Okay.
I don't really remember a time when I didn't know about God and Jesus and the stories of the Bible. Mm-hmm. My dad had a respect for God, but I would say that my mother was the one who took us to post-chapel services and things like that. Mm-hmm. When I was 9 years old, we were in a civilian community. We started going to a different church, and they had a Sunday school program. And so I remember, you know, the cinder block walls and felt boards.
Felt boards.
Yeah. You know, the Bible stories.
Yeah.
But that's where I came to understand that I needed a savior and that I needed to be baptized. And so I remember marching up the basement steps, you know, that's where the Sunday school class was, marching up from there, going straight to my mom in the sanctuary saying, I need to speak to the pastor. I need to be baptized.
Wow.
And so when I was 9, that's when I was saved and baptized. And
okay, hold on. I have to know a little bit more. What was it about that day? What can you do? You remember anything?
I don't really remember exactly what it was that my Sunday school teacher said.
Right, right.
It was just like the light came on, and I knew like, oh, I have to do this. You know, this is important.
Wow. Okay, that's neat. I love the marching up cinder block stairs from the basement, and then asserting the fact. Yeah. It's like, Mom,
I need to be baptized. Yeah,
it's time to
I
go.
Need Jesus and I need to be baptized.
Right, right. And okay. So the pastor, I remember the morning before I was baptized, there was the group of people that were going to go into the baptistry. And he said, you need to understand, like, when this is what's happening,
mm-hmm.
you know, your old man is, this is the symbol of what has happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
That your old man has died and is buried with Christ and he's raised to new life. And he said, don't reach back in those waters for the old man, you know, because you're beginning a new life with Christ.
Okay.
And what was really funny was I was 9. And there's a lot of cinder block in this story. There were cinder blocks in the baptistry that I was standing on because the water was so
wow.
deep, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was standing on those. And so when I went back to, you know, go under the waters, I actually stumbled off of those.
Oh.
And I actually did reach back and grabbed the wall of the baptistry to keep myself from falling.
Uh-huh.
And I've often thought, like, wow, that was really prophetic, like, of, you know, illustrative of like what would happen in my life.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah, so.
I want to know what you're referring to.
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you going to tell us?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. So tell me, what happened in your life that this reaching back and grabbing onto the wall was an illustration of what was to come?
Yeah, so after that, like I just wanted to know God, right? So I read through the Bible the first time when I was 12, and I was like really trying to pursue God, but I didn't have really a youth group or any kind of discipleship other than like my mother was, I guess, my main discipler, which, you know, not taking away anything from that because she was an incredible role model. But as far as my individual walk with God, I was just kind of, you know, struggling, like doing the best I could just to know God because I had a real love for him.
Mm-hmm.
But then, so in high school, I felt like God must want me to do something big.
Hmm.
So the biggest thing I think that God might want me to do is I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to go serve on the continent of Africa.
Okay.
So that kind of set the trajectory for my life. So I ended up choosing a Christian college. I majored in French because, you know, most people in Africa speak multiple languages, but French is, you know,
pretty consistent.
Common there. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, well, I'll do that. And so I went to this Christian college, and I was very excited to take Bible classes and theology classes because, you know, I loved God. I wanted to know him.
It seems like from an early age, you had a thirst and a curiosity about God.
Yeah.
And I still know you to be that way even today. So I love that about you.
Yeah, I just really, really wanted to know him.
Right.
But unfortunately, in my experience, when I was in college, my professors, they came from a really liberal kind of interpretation of the Bible. And So being a military brat, like, we kind of have to go back to like that part. Being a military brat, I was raised with the understanding that submission to authority is very important.
Okay.
So there's a phrase that's kind of common. Anybody that's in the military would, you know, or the community would be familiar with this phrase. And it goes something like this. When I say jump, you say how high.
Mm-hmm.
So the expectation is like this prompt obedience. Let's just get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother would say that I was a strong-willed kid, but there's a part of me that was really compliant. And I had been trained, you honor the authority that's been set over you. And I would say that I had a twisted kind of understanding of that submission to, like, was an unqualified submission to authority, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in my heart, I was trying to do what I'd been taught to do. So the authority figures in this case were my professors.
Okay.
They were the ones that had the degrees. They were the ones that went to the, you know, Princeton, Duke mm-hmm. University. They had the alphabet after their name. They were the experts. I was expected to submit to them. So when they started saying things like, you know, this part of the Bible is not true. This part of the Bible is a myth. We're not really sure Jesus actually uttered these words, but there is a seminar that's being convened to determine which of the sayings of Jesus are reliable. This was shattering me on the inside.
Because
now I was like, what do I do? What do I do? I didn't have apologetic training. So here were these experts. And I started to become very angry. Because I thought my whole life had been a lie. Everything I'd been
told. It
filled
you with doubt?
Oh, I was angry. Like, yeah, for sure. Like, I doubted the word was true. It's like, I wanted to throw the Bible in the trash. So it got pretty bad. And I remember one day in particular, I just, I had to get away from everybody. And I went on a walk on a nature trail. And at one point, I just really started raging at God. Just absolutely raging. Like, I stopped walk and I was like, and basically it was like I was shaking my fist in his face. And I said, I don't believe in you anymore and I'm not going to serve you. And I, it was as if like I turned my back on him. And I felt like I was standing in his presence before his throne, shaking my fist in his face, saying, no more. And I turned my back. And so the really amazing part about that experience was I had given God every reason to reject me. You know, like after everything, like, you know, considering like I was born into a loving family. I had like that idyllic childhood, right? Like just like all the blessings, all the provision, all the protection. And then I was like, no, you lied to me. And so I turned my back on him. Like it was in my heart, like I turned my back on him. And so I felt in that moment, like I didn't feel God's anger and I didn't feel his rejection, but I felt his love. And I felt his love let me go. He let me go. And when he did, so this is going to, you know, I often say, and I know it sounds like, you know, kind of strange to people, but I'm just telling you what happened. So I had the experience of feeling like an instant, infinite distance coming between myself and the God that I turned my back on. And as I was turned away from him, I was facing into the void, just darkness and emptiness. And it was so stark and so terrifying. It was like I was on the event horizon of a black hole. And I was so terrified that in my heart, I said, I think I've made a mistake.
In that moment.
Just right then. It was palpable. And it was as if, I know this kind of sounds strange because I was on a nature trail, but I was seeing these things. And I just slowly, tentatively, like, I think I've made a mistake. And in my heart, I was turning to look back over my shoulder at the God I had turned my back on. And just as instantly, all of that infinite space collapsed between us and I was at his throne again.
You're back with him.
And he, it was as if he was leaning forward on his throne with a smile on his face, saying, yes, you were saying.
You were saying.
And so it was like all of the anger went away, and then I like became aware of my surroundings again. I know that kind of sounds wild, but that's exactly what happened. And all the anger was gone, and I was just left kind of stunned, as you might imagine. And I'm slowly starting to walk again along the nature trail, and I'm looking at all of this beauty around me. And in particular, I remember looking up through the trees and seeing the tiny intricate veins of the leaves as the light was shining through them. And so I had a kind of a like a series of thoughts, and it went like this: somebody made this. Whoever made this is good. And if that person is good, I'm in trouble because I am not good. And I knew I needed someone to bridge that distance between the Creator's goodness and my not goodness. Mm-hmm. And the only person I knew who could do that was Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so right then, it was almost like the resurrection of my faith that had died. Mm-hmm. And I kind of started again with my walk with the Lord. It was like he took me by the hand and he said, now, for the rest of your life, we'll walk together. You'll know what you believe and why you believe it. Mm. So that's kind of how that journey began.
Wow. I was so sucked into what you were just saying. That was amazing. I felt like I was in the moment with you just now. And I for the listeners, I wish you guys could see Whitney tell the story, because even the angst in her eyes while she was imagining herself back in that moment was just, like you said, palpable. But what an incredible snapshot of a interaction, a divine interaction with God, in, you know, where he comes to meet us where we are and intervenes and interacts with us in a very personal way. Mm-hmm. And I think that we often have a really hard time articulating those experiences. You being able to really paint that picture of that moment, I think, is a glimpse for us to see what God is like, you know? The fact that he, in your anger of pushing him away and saying, I'm done with you, in that his love graciously almost like said, okay, well, then let's be done, my child, you know? And as soon as you realized how devastating the life would be if by walking away from him, he welcomed you back immediately.
Yeah.
And he said, and what was that you were saying? I love that. So, so now the resurrection of the faith that had died happened right then and there. And then from that day forward, you've been walking in his mighty strength and power and truth. And your curiosity that you've had since you were 9, 10, 11, 12 years old has not died, because I know you and you continue to be a person that just seeks for truth, and but you live with such deep conviction of that truth. And so I love this story that helps me understand where that deep conviction comes from. So tell me now, since that moment, the resurrection of your faith that had died, what have you learned about God?
Well, for sure, it's important. You know, in Timothy, it talks to us, it says how we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved of God.
Okay.
So it's really important, I think, for us to understand what we believe and why we believe it. Mm-hmm. To study the Word of God, because, you know, it says, you know, the Word of God is really important to him. Mm-hmm. So there are some translations that say, you know, you have exalted your word above all your name, right? Other translations would say, no, your word is like equal in importance to you, to your name. If it's that important to God, then it needs to be that important to me, because I love him. Mm-hmm. So what's important to him should be important to me. So it's very important to study. But I would say that if we only pursue God with our intellect, it'll be good. But we need to know God as a person. Because it's really easy, because I can say that I've experienced this aspect as well. It's really easy to see our faith as like an intellectual exercise. You know, I'm pursuing this. I want to understand this. I want to, you know, whatever. But we want to know him. He's not this impersonal, disembodied force. He's not somebody that's so far away. we want to know him. So what do I, the thing, the standout characteristic about God, like you could list all of his attributes.
Yeah, he has so many.
Mm-hmm. He's faithful. He's good. He's kind. He's merciful. He's loving. Don't forget, he is angry with the wicked every day. Mm-hmm. He will not excuse the guilty. He's holy, righteous. Like, you know, the fear of the Lord needs to be there too, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, all the attributes are there. But we need to remember God is a person and he wants us to know him personally and individually. That's the whole point of Jesus coming. Mm-hmm. The whole point of him coming was to say, hey, the Father is so awesome.
Right.
He's the prize. You got to know him. You got to walk with him. So he's a person. And I think that would be my huge takeaway from getting to know him. Like, wow, he stuns me sometimes mm-hmm. with how personal he is.
Right. Mm-hmm. I just actually was studying yesterday the two greatest commandments. Mm-hmm. To love God and to love others. Mm-hmm. And if you think about a perfect, holy, powerful, kind, good God, mm-hmm. there's so many things that he could command us to do
right.
that would be the greatest commandments. And
and he would be worthy of it.
And he would be worthy yeah. of it. Mm-hmm. But out of all the things that he could command us to do, he commands us with the two greatest commandments, to love him and to love others.
Yeah.
Now, if that's not personal in nature, I don't know what is.
So true.
Right? Like, I mean, yeah. talk about God being personal. And I think that this is also what differentiates the God of the Bible from other religions on,
for sure.
On earth as well, is this personal nature where his greatest command for our life is to learn to love him in a personal way.
Right.
And to love others mm-hmm. in a true, unconditional, God kind of love way towards one another.
Yeah.
And wow, I'm honored to be a part of this faith family because I'm so thankful that's what my God is commanding me to do first and foremost.
Yeah.
I love it.
And he doesn't command that love in like this.
Yeah, like, you know, like dictator kind of way. Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah.
Like he gives 100%. Us, he gives us every reason to love him.
You know? He gives us every reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm. God, he's so good. I love it.
He is good.
So are there any other experiences or anything else about the evidence of him in your life that you want to talk to us about today?
Well, I guess the impression can be like for someone who maybe doesn't know the Lord, who hasn't walked with him, you know, when you hear people give their testimony, we're so used to hearing like, and we all lived happily ever after.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, you know, and that is just not reality, right?
Right. So that's why we talk on this podcast about journeys.
Right.
And not, I mean, we're telling stories, right, yeah. of our life, mm-hmm. but it's really to capture the journey.
Right.
Because it is not just a one and done thing. And it's also not a happily ever after, you know, type of, we're after peace. Mm-hmm. We're not after ease, right?
Right.
Well, okay, so tell me what makes
you say
that. That's
what we're looking for. We're not going to find that.
Exactly.
God is so faithful. And so through, you know, all of the ups and downs, you know, along that journey, mm-hmm. you know, there's been more than one time when I've like crawled in his lap for the express purpose of just beating him on the chest and like, I don't get this. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And I think that the most amazing thing about God is that he's so patient mm-hmm. In those times. And I think the times when I've felt the closest to the Lord, like, you know, is really awesome to feel close to God when you're having, you know, the wonderful days. But
the times when I felt the closest to him are when things are really, really hard, mm-hmm. when they've been really, really hard. And, you know, the Bible talks about, it says God is close to the broken hearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. So the one of the times in my life when I felt the closest to the Lord and knowing him in a time of suffering was, so the beginning of, you know, early 2000s, beginning of Iraq War, my husband was in command of a unit that was deploying. So I was in charge of his family readiness group. And so for those who are not in the military community, that's kind of like a support group that it's really like the hub of communication between soldiers, the unit, and the family members. Mm-hmm. So I was in charge of running that. And then I was the geographical single parent of a 2-year-old. And so that would have been enough. Mm-hmm. But my mother was also dying with brain cancer. Mm. And my precious 2-year-old was exhibiting behavior consistent with toddler grief that I didn't even know was a thing. Mm. And her behavior was completely out of control. So everything in my life was out of control. Mm-hmm. My mother, who had been my best friend growing up, because right. we moved all the time, she was my best friend, mm-hmm. and she was dying. And my husband
was gone
in harm's way.
Mm-hmm.
And then my child is, you know, just, I don't know what was happening.
Kind of spiraling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, God was there in the middle of all of that. Mm. And he's the only one who can make sense out of what would otherwise be like a completely senseless time of just pain and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And I am just so grateful that he walked so closely beside me in that time.
Mm-hmm.
Like he would literally tell me, this is what you need to do with your daughter right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I would argue with him.
Right.
God, you just don't understand. That's not going to work.
Right.
Do what I told you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do it. And that's what needed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then
going back to this idea of him being so personal.
Very.
Like very, mm-hmm. very knowledgeable about the smallest details of our lives and yeah. willing and lovingly interacting with us even on something that anyone else outside of our household or even inside our household could never give us this kind of advice, this kind of insight. And oh, yeah. he can direct our path with the smallest things, for even sure. though he's such a big God. It's just remarkable.
Yeah. He knew what was going on inside of her heart.
Mm.
I can't know that.
Right.
You know, and later, you know, in times with my kids when I would be really tough, he would say, you know, you're trying to change them from the outside. How about you let me change them from the inside?
Hmm.
You know, spend more time talking to me about them than talking to them about me.
Oh, that's a really good one. Okay, you know, good. I like that as a parent tip.
Yeah, yeah. Like so God was good through all of that. And you know, so the encouragement is that he's not a fair weather friend.
He's not a fair weather friend.
He's with you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows the end from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So trustworthy. So, yeah.
Mm.
I don't know if I answered your question, Jessica.
I don't know either, but it was good. I don't even remember my question because I'm just so interested to hear from you. Okay. The last thing I think I would love to hear from you, especially with your origin story of, and I'll say kind of that resurrection of your dead faith story, mm-hmm. Is this idea that you were struggling to believe. And so you really know from the depths of your soul what that's like. And I would like to hear what advice you might have for somebody who might be struggling to believe right now.
Well, so of course I can relate to that. Mm-hmm. And I would say that for that person, consider that your your struggle to believe, maybe you're, you know, thinking about like the painful things in life, you know, kind of like the things that I was talking about, you know, disease and suffering and sickness and war and pain and all this other psychological drama, whatever, you know, why would a good God allow all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. I would say, consider that your question, you know, like, why are things this way? Why is there so much suffering in the world? Consider that even that question is evidence that there's a good God who made a good world, and he didn't make it to be like this. We were not intended to live this way, suffer this way, die this way. That's why it feels like an injustice. So if you're struggling to believe, reach out to that God who is a person. He is not off put by your questions. So I would just say, reach out to him. You know, there's a scripture in Acts that said that God is, his intention is for the nations like to even grope and reach out for him. Like, seek me, seek me. But then in that same verse, it says, and his intention is for us to find him.
Right.
So just,
he wants us to find
that's
him.
That's right. Just, if you're looking for the truth, you are going to run into Jesus because he is the truth. So just go to him. He's trustworthy. You'll find that he's trustworthy. You can trust him with your heart.
Oh, Whitney, this has been so beautiful. I've really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much for coming to share with us.
Yeah, it's been my delight. Thank you for giving the opportunity.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited because new episodes release every week.